Right now it is time to bring in Brian Ross and Real News. Brian joins us every Thursday morning. We take a look at some of the top news stories that floating around out there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you. And speaking of 21 Republicans in the House refused to vote for a bill that would have given heroes medals to the members of the Capitol Police who defended the Capitol and them on January 6th. Can you believe that? 21.
It was staggering. You know, if you want to make a protest vote, because you don't like things, then simply abstain and say you're abstaining because whatever reason. But to actually vote no is a slap in the face to every one of those Capitol Police officers and to the ones who died. It's inconceivable that it happens. But you know what? The inconceivable in United States politics is becoming routine on a daily basis.
It was truly stunning, and you wonder how those 21 are going to face their constituents, and who are the constituents who think those 21 should be returned to Congress?
It's just, you know, it's just when you look at it, it's absolutely, it's staggering. That's all you can say. And like I said, you can have your problems if you're a Republican and if you're one of the Republicans that are in this really, really, they're not even a conservative group. You can have your problems, but to vote no is totally different. It's just totally different. We'll see how it all pans out. But
right. You know, anyone who saw that footage of what happened or was there knows the heroism of the Capitol Police and what they did that day. As they were overwhelmed, they were not well served by their superiors who didn't pass on warnings. They didn't have the right equipment. They didn't have the backup, yet they were there. They tried to hold the line and saved many lives. So I think they're heroes, and nothing but contempt for the 21 Republicans who would not vote to give them that special honor.
I'll tell you what now. They saved the life of Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. I'll tell you that right now.
Right? Absolutely. We know that. Yeah. And, you know, Marshall, speaking of 21, I was just reading in Political this morning, there are now 21 members of the Senate who have come together in the center to support an infrastructure bill that they have sent to the White House, and there's some growing optimism, and perhaps there is a compromise solution to be had.
It's going to be, and I think you're right, I think it's going to be Joe Biden has waited this out, and I think he won't get the 1.7 that he wanted, but he'll get somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 1.2 or 1.3. And I know some progressives and some conservatives will be upset about that, but that's what politics used to be. It used to be a give right. and take, and you would meet somewhere in the middle.
Right, exactly. It isn't something better than nothing. That's certainly what Mr. Biden has said. He had planned, so we'll see. The bill, you know, knocks out sort of the social infrastructure, the daycare, elder care, and care for children who are fighting poverty. But it does do the steel and cement and concrete and broadband that seems to have potential for support. With the progressives demanding that if that's the case, then we've got to get the rest of the stuff done by reconciliation, and which is the process by which every one of the Democrats, all 50, could vote for it, and with the vice president voting along with that to break a tie, they could get it through. The problem for them is the Democrats don't have all 50 votes.
Yeah. It's we'll see how this whole thing develops. One thing I was pleased to see yesterday was, because I was watching in the afternoon, Joe Biden lost his temper after his press conference with a question asked by a reporter and made a wise-ass remark. But later, before he got on the plane, before he got on Air Force One, he came over and publicly apologized for being a wise guy. And you know what?
Yeah.
If ever you want to see what makes a difference in acting presidential and not acting presidential, it was right there on display.
I couldn't agree more, and it was an excellent question by Caitlin Collins to begin with from CNN. And I think he showed not so much anger but frustration. He was not saying he trusted Vladimir Putin at all, and he sort of, he shut off there. And as you say, who then sort of acknowledge and apologize, to actually apologize for something he said, was so good to see. And like, it's sort of, that's what a leader does. That's what a leader does, something we've we've missed for many years.
Yeah, it and you know, I thought this whole last week and a half, first with NATO, then with our European allies, the G7, and now with this, I think Joe Biden shows exactly what he brings to the office, which is a sense of diplomacy, a sense of class, and I think he did a lot of healing with the European and NATO. I think he did a lot of healing with the G7. And even though Vladimir Putin is Vladimir Putin, you have to begin talks and you have to stand your ground. I think he had a very, very good week.
I think so, too. But those watching Fox News would be told otherwise. They're calling it an unmitigated disaster. Former President Trump went on Sean Hannity to talk about that we gave everything away to the Russians, the U.S. got nothing. I don't think that comports with the facts, but of course there's very little about those two hosts that does comport with the facts. And I was amused to see that the former president appeared with Sean Hannity on the phone in a rambling discourse in which he decided this was the time to, again, attack windmills. For some reason, he decided this was the right time, and he started saying that windmills kill everything, which is not true, but a view he's held ever since they decided to put windmills outside his golf course in Scotland, which he tried to stop. But it was just a comparison between what we saw with Joe Biden in Geneva and Donald Trump on the phone from New Jersey.
Now, even though we would tend to look at our news as and we tend to think, there were some other pretty interesting news stories out there this week. First of all, the news out of North Korea, it's very rare that something like this happens, where Kim Jong-un actually admitted that there's terrible food concerns and there's big trouble on the way in North Korea. This is something no North Korean leader has ever done.
Right, and it looks like he also lost about 30 or 40 pounds as well. Maybe he's suffering from a lack of food. But yes, not everything is perfect for Kim Jong-un, or perfect certainly for Vladimir Putin, as Joe Biden said yesterday. You know, Russia is facing that economic squeeze, and other countries as well. And I think, Biden is saying we want to respect other countries, we understand them. I think he brings a lot to the table to understand that. And, the North Korean issue is one that no one's been able to solve. Let's see if the diplomacy can work there as well, maybe some food shipments.
And it goes back to what we were talking about, being able to solve. Vladimir Putin is now, I think, on his fifth U.S. president since he's been the leader of Russia. And so that's a problem that's long-term not going to be solved. But what I find interesting, and I'm glad commentators are pointing this out, it's no longer the U.S. and Russia. It's the U.S., China, and Russia. It's that those triangles of nations which now really force the movement of politics and events in the world today.
You're right about that, and there's never been a more important time for the U.S. to cultivate its allies in Europe and in Asia and elsewhere, as opposed to the Trump policy of antagonizing our allies. And I think, short of what Fox News has said, I think Mr. Biden is getting some well-deserved plaudits for his performance on foreign policy. And now he comes back to Washington to figure out what he can do on with the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress.
Now let's go back to the United States. I thought it was kind of cool what Governor Cuomo did in New York the other day, setting off fireworks in all the major cities, surprising some people that actually didn't know they were coming, to celebrate the fact that New York has reached 70% of vaccination rate, and just about all the COVID regulations are knocked out.
I think that was fantastic. It came out as a surprise. I think actually Connecticut has even a better vaccination rate.
Yep.
Than New York. And I guess around here we're feeling like it's back to normal.
Well, we're heading in that direction anyway. And speaking about COVID-19 in New York, Morgan Stanley has given an ultimatum to their employees. Guess what? You're going to come back to the work in the city, in the office by the fall, or else you'll be looking for a new job.
That's right. If you can go out to eat at a New York restaurant, you can come to the office. The places that I've my TV and radio homes down in the city Not quite ready to do that. They're expanding and building, and ought to talk about 3-day weeks in the office and 2 at home. Maybe we're looking at it short of people like you and me, Marshall, or always on. We don't have to necessarily follow that, but for many people, it could be 3 days at home and 2 days at home and 3 days at the office. It's kind of a new way of doing business. I think many people found they liked it during the pandemic and could become a permanent fixture of the workplace.
Well, I think what we're lucky here, Brian, is that we've been involved in things our whole lives that isn't like going to a job. It's part of our regular daily lifestyle.
Exactly. Exactly.
There is no
wake up and
there is no 9-to-5 for us.
But it is nice to see. And are you comfortable, Marshall, for instance, going to a ball game or a play at the Sharon Playhouse? Are those things that you'd be comfortable doing?
Yeah, I would. The only thing that's preventing me from doing that is my pending surgery with the knees and everything. But yes, I would be very comfortable going out to the Sharon Playhouse and going indoors, going to a movie theater again, and going to a ballpark. Yes, I would be very comfortable with it now. I look at it this way. I survived the whole pandemic. I've managed to lose. I reached the 80-pound mark now since the pandemic began.
And good for you. That's great.
I've managed not to get COVID. I've got both my shots. And you know what? It's time. It's time to start trusting in the, as we always said, in the science and have faith that the people that didn't get the vaccination have faith that, and I think we can do this around here, the people that didn't get the vaccination will wear their mask when they're around other people. So I have that faith.
That's excellent news. And still stunning to me, the Americans who are resisting getting the vaccination. And as someone pointed out the other day, everyone who's in the hospital now suffering from COVID are almost entirely people who did not get vaccinated.
An amazing story. Brian, we'll speak to you next week.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, and we'll look forward to it.
All right. Take care. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, Brian Ross can be found on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.